Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer now. Oh, loving Father, it is both with thanksgiving and joy that we come before you. And for making possible, Lord God, this first ever family camp that we have for our church. Madami po naging hadlang nito. There were so many hindrances, Lord God. And yet I thank you for each and every family represented here today. And for each and everyone who had come. I know that many of us had to come away from our busy schedules just to be here. And so I pray, Lord, that as the hours go by, may they see how worth it it is because you are moving in our midst. And so I ask, Lord, please bless the teaching of your word now. Prepare our hearts to receive it both with humility and with gladness. Trusting, Lord, that you will move upon us. You will not only inform us, but you will also transform us, Lord God. And this we ask, not just for the blessing of our families, not just for the blessing of our church, but for your glory, for your glory. Maraming salamat po, Panginoon. Humble us now before you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If I were to give a title to this message, I would simply call it, and with the title, you already know where I will be heading in this message. The title for this preaching is, Family is for God's Glory. Okay? Ulitin ko po yan. Family is for God's glory. You know this very well, because especially ever since the pandemic happened, no? We are seeing this not just in our nation, but all over the world. We live in unprecedented times. Pag sinabi pong unprecedented, hindi pa ho nahihigitan. No? And when I say unprecedented, I am referring to the unprecedented rebellion against God. The attack against Christianity and all that it upholds as sacred, now even in supposed nations which used to be bastions of the Christian faith, is accelerating at an alarming rate. The church is openly being attacked in nations like Canada, like the US, like Australia, like in New Zealand, among other places. Several European nations are doing the same as well. But the one leading the way in the attack against the church are the North American countries like America and Canada. If you want to go there, go to visit. But please don't go there to raise a family. Because you will be exposing your children to forces that will truly challenge your Christianity. That's just my take. In nations like the U.S., for example, the open rebellion against God and all the values of God that God stands for is unparalleled in brazenness. This LGBTQ openness is really an attack against God. It is questioning the Creator. Really? Are there only two genders or two sexes? No. Right now, I think the running number is they claim that there are 100 plus genders. Can you imagine 100 plus? Ano pa kaya mga gender, right? As a direct attack, Satanism is openly being promoted and even embraced. On the other hand, there are indirect attacks, which are, I believe, even more dangerous because they are not seen as open satanic worship, but because they are satanic both in purpose and implementation. Hindi lantaran demonic, but in its implementation, in its purpose, very demonic. The present LGBTQ plus movement, together with open and bold attempts to normalize pedophilia, there is something major happening now in America, for example. Some celebrities are coming out in the open boldly with their lives being endangered. Some of them are already being canceled by the culture
because they are exposing the open pedophilia that is happening among the Hollywood elites. And we have very famous names like Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg, Ashton Kutcher, among some who are so boldly coming up. And some of the names that are involved in this are being named. No, it's very sad. Oprah Winfrey, who's supposedly one of the most charitable celebrities. No, Tom Hanks, okay, is among those who are among the Hollywood elite. Lantaran na po. And these actors are being canceled. We don't even know if they will be able to show The Sound of Freedom. Tama ba? Sound of Freedom, no? We don't even know if that movie is going to make it to our shores. Because now Disney have the rights to that movie and Disney is so openly woke. Mga kapatid, hindi porket nanunood ng cartoon ang inyong mga anak, safe sila. Because the woke agenda has penetrated even into children's shows and children's programs. So the present LGBTQ movement, together with open and bold attempts to normalize pedophilia, are among the most destructive instruments of the enemies of God, leveled directly at Him, His truth, and aimed at the destruction of the biblical concept of family. How? By primarily targeting the youth. By primarily targeting the youth. We were counseling a family who were thinking of moving either to the U.S. or the States because there is a program there for one of their children who is a special needs child. And as I was speaking to the parents, I was telling them, you want to go there when you still have a small child entering into school and eldest going into college with that kind of culture there? Please do remember that you have three children and your focus must not only be on the one with special needs. Baka matulungan mo yung may special needs, pero baka mawala sa inyo yung dalawa ninyong ibang anak. It is so dangerous. And the main avenue for this assault is now through the education system in many modern nations, including our nation, where they are really teaching children, you don't need your parents' authority. You want to do this? It's okay. There are parents who have been arrested simply because their children had reported that their parents are not allowing them to attend these programs in schools. There was one man or pastor who was also arrested because he mistakenly called a gay man he. He. Ganun lang. Nagkamali lang po siya. He addressed the man as he, and the man was offended, reported it, and he was arrested. Can you imagine that? And that's why, brethren, listen, how imperative. Therefore, it is for us Christians to grow our families, especially our children, in the thorough understanding of the biblical family. Amen po ba? Ulitin ko po yun. How imperative, therefore, it is for us Christians to grow our families, especially our children, in the thorough understanding of the biblical family. Parents, we who are parents one day, we will face God, and I believe this with all my heart, we will face God regarding how we stewarded our children. I'd like to make this clear. Our children call the shots. Our children do not call the shots for their spiritual welfare. We call the shots. We cannot relinquish that relationship to children. We call the shots. Maliwanag po ba yun? Isa lang ang umamen. Amen po ba?
I want us to understand that. Okay? And I remember one very well-known personality, and he nailed it on the head. And for those of us who are young people, youth, please don't be offended by what he said, because there was a context to what he said. And basically, he was saying, as he was arguing, he had a debate with someone who was pushing for the freedom of our children, even from parental authority. And he said this in that debate. My children, I have three children, and they're stupid. Now, he did not mean that they were dumb. He was basically saying, my children need my guidance and my wife's guidance. My children think they know what is best for them, but they don't. And all of us who are parents have been there. Ilan po sa atin ngayon, mga parents na po, and we know from our past, ang dami nating kalokohan na ginawa. Can you raise your hands? How many of you, before you came to Christ, were involved in so much foolishness as young people in your life? Please raise your hand. Amen? Some of you were never young people, I guess. Okay? But we know that, right? We know that. And that's why when I started my family, we weren't born again yet. Siguro mga took 2 more years, no? But immediately I had a sense on how I wanted to be strict with my first son, Simons. Why? Because how I knew how it was to be a youth during our times. And I did not want my son to go through what I went through as a young person who got into all sorts of things that I am now ashamed to talk about. Sa totoo lang. And I know that those of you who are adults, those of you who are parents, I know you can identify with me, especially before we came to Christ. Now, for those of you who are parents and you got married as Christians, wow, what a blessing that is for you. No? But really, this is a battle for the souls of our children and our family. I cannot understate that statement or overstate that statement. There are many subjects regarding the biblical family that require deep study and deep understanding, mga kapatid. But for our purposes today, I would like to focus briefly on the purpose of family. Family is for God's glory. Now, I don't know if I'd included that in the notes, but understanding and embracing that truth will have an immeasurable impact on how we raise and nurture and protect our families. That's why if there's one thing, only one thing that you will remember after we close in prayer, it is simply that statement. Family is for God's glory. When our children understand this, it would hopefully encourage their partnership with us parents who are trying to grow our families for the glory of God. Amen po ba? That's why as parents, we need to remind each other, husband and wife, our marriage is for God's glory. My fatherhood is for God's glory. Your motherhood is for God's glory. We need to tell that to our children. Family is for God's glory. In the end, you and I want a healthy family, right? Amen po ba? A family that works, serves, lives, and loves together as God designed the family to do for His glory. And so let's take a look at the design of each member of the family. And the design of each member of the family, not just the family as a whole, but each member of the family, the design is for God's glory. When you look at what the Bible says about each member of the family unit, the husband or father, the wife or mother, and the children,
you will see, brethren, that God's blueprint for each one is so designed not only to bring blessing to the family, but more importantly, to bring glory to God. And I cannot overemphasize that. Why? Because many times, even as Christians, we read the Bible to see how we can handle our family so that our children will not go astray, so that our marriage will not break up, or so that we would experience the blessing of God. But how many of us, when we study what the Bible says about the family, about each member, is very conscious that we want to know this for the glory of God? We want to apply this for the glory of God, not just for the blessing of our family. Kaya nga, madami po mga Christian families, though they try to study what the Word of God says, still, they somehow fail. They somehow fail in the application of what they need to apply. Why? Because they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it for themselves. For example, I can, as a husband or a father, say, yeah, this is what the Bible says. But when I'm angry, I'm angry. Wala akong pakialam. Babawiin ko na lang later. Magsosorry na lang ako sa asawa ko. Magsosorry na lang ako sa mga anak ko. And every now and then, I might fail. Why? Because I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for my family. We must first do it for God and His glory. God and His glory comes first. It's not about you. It's about God. It's not about you as husband and wife as much as it is about God. Children, it's not about you. As youth and young children, dependent on their parents, for most of us who are here, it's about God. It's not about you feeling good about yourself. It is not about you being accepted by as many people as possible. It's about God. It's about God who loves you. It is about God who wants to glorify Himself through you. It's about God. The moment we make it about ourselves, kahit na biblical pa ang sinusubukan nating gawin, sasablay po tayo. Amen? So let's take a quick look at some of the things that the Bible says about each one. And we will be looking at and reading several verses of Scripture. I will not be dissecting each and every one. Kundi baka maging series po ito. So let's take a look first at what the Bible says about the husband or the father. How many here are husbands? Please raise your hands. How many here are fathers? Please raise your hands. How many here are not yet a husband or father, but one day you want to be one? Pakitaas sa kamay. Okay? One. Si Brother Randy lang. Habang yung iba, gusto single? Okay, mahiya. Ayun, meron pang dalawa doon sa likod. Yung iba, talagang walang balak na mag-asawa. Okay. Some of these passages are very familiar. So, just please read them with me. Okay? I might say a little thing or two about a passage, but we will not dissect one. Very important, classic passage, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 25 to 30. Ephesians 5, 25 to 30. Have you found it? Let me read that to you. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he, Jesus Christ, might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, the church, would be holy and blameless. Verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of His body. Very simple. Verse 25, husbands. Christian husbands are called to love their wives with the highest standard. And what is the standard? As Christ loved the church. So verse 25. And we know this. We know this. Those who, of you who have attended my counseling for my for premarital purposes, those of you who have attended my wedding ceremonies, I often mention this. And what is the character of Christ's love? First of all, it is sacrificial. Look at verse 25. He gave himself up for her. Sacrificial. Ang pamilya mo ba, sila ang nagsasakripisyo para sa iyo? O ikaw ang nagsasakripisyo para sa kanila? Does your family see you're sacrificing life and effort every day for them? Second, that kind of love is sanctifying. Look at verse 26. So that he might sanctify her. To sanctify is to be transformed in the image of Christ. Fathers, husbands, is your relationship with your family sanctifying them? Is your relationship with your family inspiring them, your wife, your children, to seek after God? Inspiring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your family turned off about Christianity because of such a poor testimony? And then in verse 28, you will see that it is a satisfying love. So sacrificial, sanctifying, satisfying. Verse 28, so husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it. Notice, you want to have a good family? Huh? You want to have a good family? Fix your marriage. Strengthen your marriage. Because your marriage is the key to have a strong family. It's not having children who love you or who love your wife or your husband, but it's them seeing and knowing that mama and papa love each other. Mama and papa, they're strong in their marriage. You want to raise up children who are secure? Then let them help them see that they are secure because mama and papa love each other and love the Lord. Ang susi ay ang marriage po natin. Colossians chapter 3 verse 19. Open your Bibles there. Colossians chapter 3 verse 19. I would like to read that from the ESV. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Sorry, that is the NAS. Do not be embittered against them. Sa ESV, do not be harsh with them. Amen? I think all of us who are husbands at one point or another have sinned this way against our wives, right? Pag naubusan ho tayo ng pasensya sa kanila, sometimes we become harsh towards them. And so this speaks of a love that is kind and gentle. We need to fight for this. Husband. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Sige na po, wag ho tayo antukin, wag ho tayo tatamarin. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It's okay, wives, you can elbow your husbands. It's okay. Because we'll get even later. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she is a woman. Sandali, Pastor, sandali. Yung asawa ko hindi weak. Mas malakas pa nga ang personality niya kaysa sa akin eh. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand if that is true in your case. Okay? Because I want you to still enjoy the family camp. Well, let me just say this. If your wife, listen, if your wife is the more dominant one in your family, men, it's because you had allowed it. It's because you had allowed it. Now, they might be more talkative. They might be the one more expressive. That's fine. That does not mean that they're dominant. Iba yon. But kung siya ang boss and you are the one wearing the skirt and not your wife, then there's something wrong.
You are not exercising proper headship. And sometimes the wives try to compensate. Kasi kulang ka sa headship. Kulang ka sa headship. Okay? And that's how we'll answer that. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Ah! How we treat our wives pala has a bearing on our prayers. No? And so here we will see that love is an understanding and therefore a patient love that honors our wives. An understanding love, therefore a patient love. How many of us husbands struggle sometimes with patience with our wives? Don't raise your hand. Okay? I'm just throwing that question to you. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2 and verse 12. We are looking at what God has been calling the husbands who are overseers and deacons. Again, huwag niyo sasabihin, ay, hindi para sa akin yan kasi hindi naman ako elder, hindi naman ako deacon. Hindi. All the qualifications for overseers and deacons are qualifications for all believers, even women. Please, ladies, understand these qualifications. Like blamelessness, that's not just for men. That's not just for church leaders. That's for all believers. But here it is being emphasized because precisely some men are called by God to lead His church. But there in 1 Timothy 3:2, an overseer then must be the husband of one wife. Verse 12, deacons must be husbands of only one wife. Ano pong ibig sabihin ng one wife there? Of course, pastor, hindi naman natin tinuturo ang polygamy, di ba? That's not what it is saying. One wife simply means that that love is faithful. It is a faithful love. Your wife has no other rival. But your wife must know that she's only second to Christ, right? Amen po ba? So, in a nutshell, these verses that I've so far read to you, here we see that the husband is called to love as the Lord Jesus loves us, His church. Amen? Yan ang panawagan po natin. Kaya nga, the love is sacrificial, sanctifying, satisfying. It is a love that is kind and gentle. It is understanding. It is patient. It is a love that honors our wives. It is a love that is faithful. Plus, our focus is not just our wives or our marriages. Look at 1 Timothy 3:12. Nandun pa rin po tayo. And this is talking to deacons here. Deacons must be good managers of their children in their own household. Christian father, Christian husband, you are called to manage your household well, your children well. In the New King James, the word used in English is ruling, ruling their households or their children in their own households. Ruling. I'd like to ask you this. Who is the boss in the family? Sino nasusunod? Maaring ikaw una nagsasabi, pero sino in the end na nasusunod? Si Mrs. ba o ikaw? Huh? We need to honestly answer that question. Who is the one that sends who sets the direction for the family? Especially the spiritual direction. Sino po? Ikaw ba? O ang mga ina ng ating mga anak? Who takes care of disciplining our children? Sometimes, tayo mga husbands, para sa atin, okay na, busy ako, I'm providing for my family. Honey, ikaw na lang magdisiplina sa mga bata. You take care of disciplining our children. Wrong. Your wife is not the spiritual head, you are. And so you must take the initiative in disciplining your children. And so when you rule, when you manage, please listen, Because children, it's not what you think. To manage means bringing them up in loving discipline. Loving discipline. Not just enforcing biblical discipline when necessary, but, listen, engaging in biblical discipling of his children. Okay? Ito lang yan. Fathers, sometimes we get involved when we have to deal with our errant children. Pag kailangan ng i-ground, kailangan ng paluin, that's the only time we come in. Yes, we must enforce discipline, but we must engage them in discipling as well. Because actually the word disciple and discipline come from the same root, and it means to instruct. Are we teaching our children? Are we instructing them in the way of Scripture or in the way of God? Kasi, alam ko, meron ilong mga ama. There are some fathers na ganun. Okay, uwi ka, and then, sasabihin sa'yo ni Misa, yeah, yung anak mo, ganitong ginawa. Okay, sige, asa na pamalo? Sige, ako na mag-threaten sa kanya, ako na mag-ground. And you think you've done your job simply because you had enforced discipline. But do you engage them? Do you speak with them? And this applies to any child who is still a dependent on you. In fact, even when they have their own families, your authority may have lessened greatly, but hopefully your influence is still strong. If you have children who have their own families and they no longer keep in touch with you, they no longer, for example, seek your counsel, then there is something wrong in your having raised them up before they went on their own. Nakaproblema yon. Why? Because the child who would not seek your counsel, who would not ask for your prayers, after he has left home or she has left home, it is an indication that you've never really discipled your child. And that's why we need to take this very, very seriously po. Because you're hoping that after they have their own families, every now and then, they would still come to you. Pa, what do you think of this? I'm about to make this decision. Just need your input. They still ask for your counsel. You see, enforcing discipline is corrective, but biblical discipling is instructive. Kaya pag tinignan po natin ang book of Proverbs, Solomon was mostly instructing his son in wisdom and in the fear of the Lord. Now, open your Bibles to Ephesians 6:4, please. Ephesians 6:4. Kasi madalas, parents, this is where we fail. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There you have it again. And ladies, please don't wash your hands with this verse, because this applies to you as well. Parents, do not provoke your children. How do we deal with our children? Do we deal with our children in a way that challenges them? Challenges their being persons, or puts down their being persons? We cannot say, eh, ako ang ama. Anak ka lang dito. Especially if our children are already grown up or growing up. We need to be able to disciple them in a way that is appropriate to their age. They're adults, and as adults. And they must see that from us as well. Note again in Ephesians 6:4, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Of the Lord. That means we must teach His truth. We must exemplify as much as we can by the grace of God the life of Christ in the way that we discipline and instruct our children. Teach and exemplify. Very, very important. See, parents, we provoke our children when we discipline in anger. Again, how many of you parents have experienced disciplining our children in anger. Pakitaas ng kamay. You've disciplined your children in anger. Now, you don't need to raise your hands, but how many of you often discipline in anger? The moment we discipline in anger, we will lose our ministry point to our children. Am I making myself clear? I'm preaching this to myself. The moment we discipline our children in anger, we will fail in ministering to them. Because we're angry. Our ministry point is clouded by our emotions. We will not see as clearly as we have to see. Kaya nga dito, discipline in love, not in anger. When we are impatient with them, we provoke them. When we fail to listen to them, we provoke them. When we do not treat them and respect them appropriate to their age, we provoke them. Now, children, please don't take advantage of that. O yan, o, tignan mo, papa, o, pinovoke mo ko, mama, o, pinovoke mo ko, ha, so justify dito. No. No, talagang papaluin ka. Buti nga sa'yo. Di ba, kahit na 45 anyos ka na. Di ba? Kasi nakikitira ka pa din dun, di ba? No. Paul repeats this in Colossians 3.21. Colossians 3.21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Exasperate. The word there in the Greek is translated provoke in the ESV and in the New King James. The word there in the Greek is translated embitter in the NIV. And here it speaks of a regular pattern in dealing with their children. Parents, is that the regular way you deal with your children? Provoking? Impatient? Children losing heart here means getting discouraged. Seeing no hope of being understood by their parents. Di na yata ko maintindihan ng magulang ko eh. Kasi palagi na lang ako mali. Kasi hindi na ako pinakikinggan. Look at the commandments of God through Moses to parents in Israel in regard to the discipline and instruction of children in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read verses 1 and 2 with me and then verses 6 to 7. Verses 1 and 2. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. There you will see the purpose. This commandment is being given to me for you. And what is the purpose? So that you, your son, and grandson might fear the Lord your God. Will want to keep his statutes and his commandments all the days of your life. Parents, are your children inspired to obey God? How do you discipline? How do you discipline? Is it more like this? Na-offend ako sa'yo, anak. I'm offended, God. I'm offended, son. I'm offended, daughter. Do we ever point them to God, child? Do you not think that what you're doing is hurting the heart of our Lord? Offending His holiness and His righteousness? Minsan ang pagdidisiplina natin ay iiwan sa sarili natin. Tayo na naman po ang focus. And I remind myself of this regularly. I need to be able to point my children to the Lord. Then verse 6 and 7, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What are these things? It's the Word of God. The commands of God. When you reason out with your children, don't just use logic. Because I tell you this, your children will think that that is just your own opinion. You're old. We're young. We live in a different generation. Yung values mo, para sa iyo yan nung panahon mo, iba kami ngayon. If you just deal with them based on your own logic, that is how they will think. But if you bring them back to God, God is the unchangeable one. His values 4,000, 5,000 years ago are just the same as His values today. Because He is the never-changing God. And we must help our children know God in that way. Teaser pa lang yan para sa husbands and fathers. Let's take a look at the next character in the family, the wife or the mother. Okay, husbands, your turn now to make siko. And when you look at the commands in the Bible, this is interesting because I looked at all of these verses, I put them together. Really, the New Testament commands Christian wives to do basically just one thing. Just one thing. Submit to your husbands. Submit to your husbands. Ladies, can you please repeat? Submit to my husband. Ayon yung maniwala, Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, si Paul ito, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. As you are submitted to Christ, then submit to this command of Christ to submit to your husband. Pastor, paano ko mas matanda ako? Sorry ka, mas matanda ka. Di ba? Pero yung husband mo, ang head, hindi ikaw. Pastor, paano ko mas marunong ako sa husband ko? Sorry ka, nag-asawa ka nang bumagsak sa school. Di ba? Pero siya pa rin ang head. Pastor, paano kung ako ang mas successful sa career? There's no condition here, sister. Of course, we know the only limitation here is when your husband is asking you to do something against the will of God, as clearly spelled out in Scripture or as implied by biblical principle. Colossians 3:18, inulit naman po ito ni Pablo sa iglesia sa Colosse. Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Being a submissive wife is fitting to the Lord. It is pleasing to God. It is the way as it should be from the perspective of God. Kala niyo si Pablo lang? Punta ho tayo kay Pedro. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Ang ganda ng motivation dito ni Peter. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Before I say something about that, go back with me to Ephesians 5:33, because Ephesians 5:33 also ends with the same thing. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Submission and respect go hand in hand. How do you talk to your husband when you want to ask him to do something? Maging useful ka nga. Kunin mo nga yung maleta ko doon sa ano? Ano yan? Slave mo? Now, does that submission mean you have no voice? Of course not. Of course not. You have a voice. If your relationship is okay, you can talk, you can discuss, you can even disagree with each other. No problem. Because as long as you remember these principles, even your disagreement, you will guard. Because a disagreement can quickly degenerate into an argument, can quickly degenerate into a quarrel. Amen po ba? O ako lang ang nakakaranas nito. Amen po ba? Amen. Praise God, hindi lang sa akin nangyayari ito. Hindi lang akong guilty rito. Submission and respect go hand in hand. Open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Though the command is directed to older women here, we can glean something more from what the younger women are to be taught regarding their husbands. This was a command to the older women. But we can glean something from this. Sabi ni Titus sa mga older women, teach them to love their husbands. To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husband so that the word of God will not be dishonored. O mamili na kayo doon, pero all of the above yan. Love your husband. Not just submit, because the submission's character is a loving submission. Submission's character is a trusting submission. You are trusting not just in the person of your husband, but also in the work of God in his life. And it is a joyful submission. Wives, nakapag-submit na ba kayo ng ganito? Sige na nga. Ikaw ang head eh. Ano magagawa ko? Baka mamaya, paluin ako ni Lord. Kung ako lang ang lalaki, ibang usapan natin, di ba? Come on, let's be honest. Diba? Proverbs 31. We will not read this whole passage. I just want you to skim through that, ladies. Even the men. Oh, men, you have to know Proverbs 31. Because you can help remind your wives. Amen? In a loving way. Kayo naman, oh. Grabe. Proverbs 31:10-31 describes the excellent wife from the perspective of God. Not from your perspective, men, but from the perspective of God. Remind them gently. Remind them lovingly. As mothers, again, go back to Titus 2 verse 4, they are to love their children. Love their children. That's another thing that God is calling wives and or mothers to do. Love your children. Obvious ba, Pastor? Obvious, pero hindi palaging nasusunod. Might be obvious, of course. I love my children. How are you loving your children? Are you loving them purely from an emotional point of view? Or are you loving them biblically? Are you loving them because you have a clear view of you being also one of the disciples of your children. And not just the daughters, but even your young male children. Are you discipling your children as well? Come on, let's face it. In many families, the children often spend more time with their mothers, right? So hindi mo po pwedeng hintayin si Mister. O tulad sabi kanina ni Berta, Han? Sorry, Berta, I just love that line. You just can't wait for them to do the discipling. You're also discipling your children. And you know what? Here's the thing. We are actually teaching our children something even when we are not aware that we're teaching them something. Just by our example. Just by how we react to each other as husband and wife, they're picking up something from us. Just by our not doing anything, we're teaching them something. Ang problema natin is, most of the time we're not aware. We think that we're teaching them only when we sit them down and open the Bible. But we teach them also by the way we live, the way we respond to each other. I can't count the number of times when I've had to ask forgiveness from my own children because I would tell them, I did not respond correctly to your mama. Forgive me. That was sinful. And I pray that you won't follow that one day when you have your own family. I can't even count the number of times. And even you're apologizing, you're asking for forgiveness from your children is a ministry point to them. When our children see us ask for forgiveness from each other as husband and wife, that is a ministry point. Ministry point po yun. Kahit wala tayong sinasabi sa kanila, just by watching us. Amen? Am I making sense? In 1 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul compares himself to a loving, caring mother in his love for the Thessalonian church. Yes, it's Paul, but look at the way Paul was describing himself in an analogy as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Hey, your children are not only your children when they are small and cute and just simply adorable. They are your children when they also become horrible. Amen? Huh? The command to tenderly care applies to all our children regardless of their age. Titus 2:3-4 ulit. Because older women certainly included mostly mothers, especially during that time. Ladies, this is part of your task. They are to teach what is good. And what is good? Of course, we go back to Scripture to find what is truly good. So that they may encourage the young women. Encourage. Are you encouraging to your daughters? Are you encouraging to your sons, ladies? Encourage. So mothers are also to teach and disciple their children, both boys and girls, when they are young. But of course, particularly their daughters, even when they are married. Even when they are married. How many of us who have adult daughters who still somehow take their cue from their mommies? They take their cue. Walang inuutos si mama, walang dinedemand si mama, but they take their cue. They would say, oh, mama's not going to do this. I don't think my mom would be pleased with the way I'm dressing up if she saw me. If they still think that way, you have succeeded to a great degree. Why? Because though your authority has gone down, your influence is so high, they still hear your voice. They still hear your voice. We can't count the times when our elder Simons would sometimes tell us, you know, Pa, when this happens to my sons, I hear your voice. And now I get it. Sometimes he would tell his mom, you know, Mama, itong paggaganito ko, I got this from you and I'm so thankful I got this from you. I'm now applying it to my own children. Wow, they don't know how good we feel because of that. Because until now, that influence is still so high with them. But we cannot keep our guard down. At kayo, mga magulang, huwag niyong iisipin, please. Anyway, bata pa yung mga anak ko. My children are still too young. Fine. I hope that my influence will be strong when they're older. Wrong. You want your influence to start growing and to be founded in their lives? Do it now while they're young. Don't do it when they're already teenagers. They have their own minds. They can discern. Amen? So even when they're in marriage, Proverbs 1:8 seems to imply this in saying, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Children, are you hearing this as well? I'm addressing this to the mothers because I'm talking about influence. But here, Solomon was speaking to his son. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 1. Okay pa kayo? Sige na po, konti. Pagtsagaan nyo na lang po ako. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Whoa! Yung sinulat niya sa Proverbs 31 about the excellent wife, sino nagturo? Si Mama. Si Mama, look at the influence of his mother on him. Finally, let's look at the children. Okay. Parents, pwede niyong sikuhin yung inyong anak ngayon. Children, don't go to the bathroom. It's locked. The Bible also has much to say to children. And when I say children, I don't care if you're 5 years old or 50 years old. And you might have your own family. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, please. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Let's forget about the promise attached there. But let's look at the command. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, for this is right. You are doing it for the glory of God. I will obey, not because if I don't obey, wala akong allowance. No. You do it for the glory of God. And that's why, parents, we need to teach our children to do what is right from the perspective of God. Wag po natin sila pasusunod sa atin at sa atin lang titigil. We need to keep them conscious of God. You know why? Because the moment they leave the house to go to school, to be with their friends, we're not going to be around. In their minds, wala naman si papa, si mama dito eh. But if you make them, children are conscious of the presence of God, guess what? Wherever they go, the Heavenly Father is looking on them. Looking at them. Remember when my children were still in school and sometimes they would lie, and then I would find out. This is what I would tell them. Anak, alam mo, you know, son, you know, daughter, you think you can hide it from me? Probably, but you can't hide it from God. And God is bringing this out because He loves you. He wants me to deal with it with you. Please stop lying. Because you'll only get away with it for a while. You'll only get away with it for a while. Pasensya na po kayo, may konting added advantage ako because I say this. I'm serving the Lord, anak. You think God will allow you to just do something foolish that can endanger my ministry or disqualify me for my ministry? God will bring it out, so might as well be truthful. Bring it back to God. For this is right. Now look at verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. Honor. This is especially important when your children are grown up. Again, we know that. I've shown that chart to you many times. As they grow older, are younger, older. As they grow older, our authority goes down. Because especially when they have their own lives, but hopefully our influence goes up the older they get. And that's why the honoring, children, listen, the honoring does not stop. The obedience may stop, because especially when you are independent, you are of your own family, no? Hindi ka na nakikikain, nakikitulog, humihingi ng allowance sa mga magulang mo dahil at 42, wala ka pang trabaho. And my children know that. As long as you're eating on this table, living under this roof, my rules. You want to live by your rules? Hey, grow up and go. And that's why the honoring is important. The honoring is important, especially when you are older children now. Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Look at Paul. He's pointing the children to the Lord. Because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Because this will make your parents feel good. No, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now go to the Old Testament. Look at Proverbs 1:8. Proverbs 1:8. Children who are already able to read your Bibles, please mark this. Sabi ni Solomon sa anak niya, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Wow. And you know what? That doesn't matter if you are 9 or 19 or 39. Hindi mo pwedeng sabihin na, oh, I have my own family, lahat ng tinuro nila sa akin, pwede ko na itapon. No. And part of godly parents' instruction and teaching are the following. You'll see that in verse 10. Look at verse 10. One of the things that godly parents should be teaching you is this: "My son, if sinners entice you or tempt you, do not consent." Huwag ka magpapahatak sa mga kaibigan mo. Verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path." Can you please find better friends who will truly love you and your welfare and not just like you because they can get you to do something that they want to do and not feel guilty kasi kasama ka? Go to Proverbs 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." I don't think he was talking to a small kid here, brethren. I think he was talking to a child who is a young adult or responsible enough. And all throughout the book of Proverbs are Solomon's instructions to his son. Hindi lang dito. And the most foundational of his instructions you will find in Proverbs 9:10. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." You want to raise wise children? You want to raise children who have understanding, correct understanding of life issues? Teach them to fear the Lord. Bring them to the knowledge of God. Don't be teaching them earthly values. Don't be teaching them your family's traditions more than the principles of Scripture. You need to teach them and you need to exemplify to them how to process things that they're going through biblically. Kaya nga, pag nagkakaroon kayo ng conversation with your children, part of the conversation should go like this: "Anak, what do you think does the Bible say about that?" Remember the preaching that we heard 2 Sundays ago? What did the preacher say with regard to something like this? And that's why it would be good practice, brethren, when you get home after service, talk to them a little about what they learn. Alam mo, I'm more and more convinced that what we're doing after the preaching is what God wants us to do. We divide into partners and we share what ministered to us. That makes us very conscious that we are about to minister to another. But we need to bring that home. We need to ask our children, "So, anak, what did you pick up?" Sige nga. You might be surprised because your children might actually minister to you. Amen? The fear of the Lord. Teach them to fear God. And there, you will see, this appears also in Proverbs 1:7. And from there, he commended what his own father taught him in Proverbs 4. Come on, hang on here with me. I'm about to reach the end of this. Proverbs 4:4-8. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, anak. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. What is he referring to? Wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. That's the start of wisdom. Acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. I love that. I think it's in the New King James that is translated, in all your getting, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. Yes, children, fathers and mothers have the responsibility to teach your children wisdom, but you, children, also have the responsibility to fear, to pursue the fear of the Lord, and to acquire wisdom. May responsibilidad din kayo. And that's why when you come to church, listen, children, you don't come to church to be entertained. You don't come to church, at least not this church, to feel good about yourself. You don't. You come to this church, or you come to church because you want to know the character of God, and in the character of God, the will of God. From His Word, not from the opinion of the preacher. That's what you want. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. As long as the Word and the truth of God in His Word is being preached, that is your first criteria. It's not what makes you feel good. Because at the end of the day, when you finally have your own children, that is when you will remember all of this. And you will begin to say, ah, ito pala yung sinasabi ni Papa, ito pala yung sinasabi ni Mama, dapat nakinig pala ako. Now I am experiencing it with my own children. How did my parents handle me when I was doing that? And so in closing, again, this is just the top of the icing on the cake. In all of these commandments to husbands and fathers, wives and mothers, and children, you will often find the goal of all of them. And what is the goal? The glory of God. The glory of God. How the pattern of love is that of Christ. We've seen that. The instruction and discipline are of the Lord. Not yours, but of the Lord. Why? So that all in the family might fear the Lord your God. We're called to submit as to the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Children, obey your parents, for this is right and is well-pleasing to the Lord. Notice that each member of the family unit must fulfill his or her God-given responsibility for God's glory. First, it's God's glory. It's not just the blessing of our family and our relationships. It's first the glory of God. And that is so, then family is for the glory of God. Think about this, beloved. If then each one in the family sought God's glory, pursued God's glory in all aspects of his or her life, the family as a whole then would indeed glorify God. Can you imagine? Kung lahat kayo, father, husband, mother, wife, children, are all conscious of glorifying God. How can your family not be blessed? Because you will be walking in the principles of God. They would fight always to glorify God and be pleasing to Him. And in the process, the blessing of God will rest upon you. You're not after the blessing. You're after the glory of God. The blessing follows as a result. And that's why husbands, fathers, wives and mothers, children, do not seek to bless yourselves. Seek rather that God Himself will bless you. Seek that God will bless you. Don't do things because you want to be blessed as you do them. Seek the Lord's blessing. And the best way to do that is to seek His glory. I would like to end with one of the benedictions of Paul upon the Roman believers in the last two chapters of his letter in Romans 15. Please open your Bibles there. I'd like to close with Romans 15, 5 to 6. Romans 15, 5 to 6. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Yan ang magandang mangyari sa pamilya po natin. To be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice, as a family, if I might add, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, family is for God's glory. Let us pray. Father God, maraming pong salamat, Lord. I trust in your moving, Lord, Holy Spirit. Not in my speaking, but in your moving. I trust, Lord, that you administer to every father, every husband represented here, to every mother or wife, to every child. I trust that you administered even to those who are single, who might one day be blessed with family. Or those who are single, Lord, who you might use to minister to other men or other women. I pray, Lord, that you'll plant deep in our hearts your principles, Lord. And help us to desire for our families that you be always glorified in the way that we relate to one another, in the way that we would respond to each other, or respond, Lord, to the circumstances, Lord, that surround our families. Because you deserve that glory, Lord. You deserve it. And if right now, Father, there are things that we need to repent of, please grant us your grace. And I'd like you to take advantage of this opportunity, husband, father, wife, mother, child. Come before the Lord. If you've been putting yourself, your feelings, your own desires, and the way that you relate to each other, come before the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. If you have not been seeking, first of all, God's glory in your life, ask God to change you, to change your heart. Ask God to give you the desire to glorify Him. Ask God to help you to remember the things that He's commanded you. Sa dami po ng pinakita sa atin dito ng Panginoon, ang laki po ng sasagutin natin sa Panginoon sa totoo lang. With all that He has shown us, we will really answer to God. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. Thank you, Father. I pray for every marriage that needs your healing touch and restoration. Please heal. Please restore. Please humble both husband and wife toward each other. And most of all, humble them before you. If there are children here who have been rebelling, even silently, in their hearts or minds, Lord, please convict them. Please move in their hearts. Please let them see somehow how much they have grieved your heart. If, Lord, there is a strain in the relationship between parent and child, represented here right now, Lord, please heal that. Heal that strain, Lord. Let there be fresh love and respect for one another. Let there be repentance on both sides. Help us not simply stand on who we think is right, and most of the time we think we ourselves are right. But rather stand on what is truly right in your eyes and what will be pleasing to you. Oh Lord, please, I give each and every family represented here today, please, Lord, strengthen these families. Strengthen these marriages. Strengthen relationship between siblings, and parents, and children. Lord, we ask this for your glory. So that our own families, Lord, might be a testimony of the greatness of your grace and love. Thank you, Father. We pray all of this in the name of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we say, Amen. Amen.